Hello, you're watching a replay of the Facebook Live. Today we're talking about importing goods to New Zealand and four ways an overseas supplier will cost you extra money that you didn't budget for. My name is Max and sitting next to me is my co-pilot Alex.
Hi guys, how are you doing?
And we're from a New Zealand customs brokerage company called Easy Freight.
Just want to add, we have a broad experience in freight forwarding, customs brokerage, and all the handling goods in and out of New Zealand. We're doing it for the last 8 years. Before that, we've both been busy doing the same thing pretty much. So our combined experience is, what, over 25 years by now, probably. Okay. So that's why we are doing this series of Facebook Lives and educating our clients and potential clients, so just general public, in different aspects of importing or exporting, and how to save money and do not spend more than you have to.
Exactly. So the first way that you can lose money is, surprisingly, some New Zealand importers can receive half full containers.
Really?
Yeah. So, and it actually happened this week to two of our clients, where they purchased a container, a full container, full 20-foot container of goods, and surprisingly turned up only half full. Can you imagine that?
But how did it happen? I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, so there are a couple of ways that it could happen. Sometimes the supplier can rush in, and because they got so many orders in from different countries, so they have to just fill it up quickly with whatever they can, and they just don't take any responsibility, and they sometimes don't even care how it's going to turn up in New Zealand, unfortunately for you. But now, because you're listening to this Facebook Live, hopefully you will do something to avoid it. So what can they do to avoid it, Alex?
Amazing how they how actually things can happen in a different country that you have no control of, right? And you think that you know what you're doing, and you might be doing that for a while, and then that thing happens to you, and you open your second, third, fourth container in New Zealand, and here you go, you paid for an air, right? So our thoughts on what can be done differently in this case would be, ask your supplier to send you some pictures just before they close the door, they seal the container in. Ask them to double check the measurements, or double check them yourself. If you know how many, and by the way, how many roughly cubic meters you can fit in 20 foot?
So you can fit on average about 25 to 28 cubic meters of stuff.
Right. So if this turns out to be only 15, 16, or something dodgy is happening, because obviously there's going to be empty space in the container, and you might probably might not need the whole full container. You might only need a couple of, you know, less than a container load, or just a couple of pellets or three pellets or whatever. So it's good practice to ask your supplier to double check, recheck, and recheck it yourself. And the means of internet basically allow you to do that. You can see the pictures straight away. You can, you know, be on a call with your supplier when they're doing it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's how you can avoid it.
And the way you lose money, because that space, that additional 10 cubic meters, you could have used for additional supply. You could have the second supply filling up the wasted space.
Good idea, yes.
And, or you could have increased your current order from the same supplier and pretty much receive extra goods and pay little or no freight, because you pay a fixed amount for a 20-foot container or a 40-foot container.
Yes, absolutely.
So the first mistake and the first way that an overseas supplier will cost you is that they send less of what you expect. They you can you may get the same amount of goods that you purchased. So if you purchase 1,000 of units, you will get 1,000 of units, but the supplier sometimes doesn't know the volume of these units. So they just send it to you and they don't care whether it's a full container, 1/3 container, 2/3 of containers. So what's the second?
The second way which we wanted to attract your attention for is incorrect documentation. And me being a customs broker is very familiar and it's the thing which happens over and over again. And it's actually happens every second shipment when we take a client, a new client on board, that some of the documents, some of the transport or shipping documents will be done incorrectly or will be missing. And you probably want to ask me what kind of documents.
What kind of documents are missing?
Exactly. And the most common missing document is called quarantine declaration. It's a very simple document which you can source, the sample of it you can source from internet or any freight forwarding or customs brokerage company. And it actually just says that the container which is shipped is clean and free of soil or dirt, and the packaging used in used for your goods is approved for transportation and safe for the environment. The other words, it's called ISPM 15, which is the world standard for packaging.
And wooden packaging.
Wooden packaging. Yes, exactly. Sorry.
Interrupt you. What do you mean? This supplier, doesn't matter whether it's based, it's somewhere in Europe or in any other country, if they have been exporting before, how could they forget this document?
Easy. Well, the first thing, they might never export it to New Zealand.
Okay.
And that's a purely New Zealand requirement. And secondly, they just might simply forget.
Mm.
And
what they don't just forget,
NBI and customs will still clear your container, but it just will cost you extra money, because without the document signed by your supplier, you won't be able to claim that it's clean. Then it means that NPI, Ministry of Primary Industries, will have to physically go and check the outside of the container and inside of the container to see if the packaging is stamped with the proper accreditation.
Okay.
And that's hundreds of dollars. And that's only one simple document, which is takes like 2 minutes to fill up.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you think? Any other documents which we have incorrect?
Another common mistake that I see on a regular basis is when you've got the bill of lading consigned to the director or the shareholder or some kind of staff or any member of the company, of the importing company.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Which kind of makes sense that you bought the goods, you as a person paid for the goods, but for the New Zealand customs point of view, the entity who is importing the goods is the actual company. So you want to make sure that all the documents match with the commercial invoice and it displays the correct company name.
To be fair, it could be a physical person in on the documents, because sometimes it's not the company which buys the goods, but CEO is a person, and that's fine, the customer is fine with it. But all the documents must match. So if there is a consignee who says Mr. XYZ or Mrs. XYZ, then your invoice, commercial invoice, must also have Mrs. or Mr. XYZ. Or if it's XYABC Limited, your invoice and all other documents, supporting documents, permits, and certificates of origins, they also need to have that
match.
Company. They, yeah, absolutely. And you want to stress to your supplier that you want to check all the documents before the goods are in New Zealand, because it might be too late and you will have to pay fees to change the documents sometimes to the shipping lines or to any other party.
100%.
Yeah. So,
all right, so while
the second one is incorrect documents.
And if you enjoy the content, please share it with your friends and make sure you subscribe to our channel, follow us on Facebook and YouTube, and stay tuned because we do awesome videos every week and we're gonna make sure you save money, don't make these mistakes. And yeah, next week is gonna be a very interesting topic. So the third very popular mistake that we see is
that's a gem, I would say.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for 8 years, and all these 8 years we've seen over and over again.
So it's called CIF, which means the freight.
I'll call it CIF problem.
CIF problem, yes. It's been on the news, all over the news. It's been in the Commerce Commission. It's been in different small dispute courts between different companies because the extra cost could be huge. Sometimes you could pay $1,000 or $1,500 on top of what you paid to your overseas supplier. And what I'm talking about is that when you pay to your overseas supplier, and it has three letters, CIF, which means cost insurance freight, you would think that all charges been paid and you just receive the goods at your doorstep. But in fact, when it turns up in New Zealand...
Well, look, people who know what they're doing and who've been importing over and over again, they would probably know that it's not true, right?
What do you mean?
Well, that CIF does not mean the goods are delivered to your door.
Yes, but I'm talking about...
But the new ones...
The first-time importers. So it's mostly applicable to first... Well, the extra fees would apply to everyone, but the biggest shock would experience the first-time importers. Because they've never done it before, and how would they know what's the difference between...
Because it's never mentioned anywhere. Anywhere. There's extra charges. They do not... They don't mention it anywhere until you see the bill.
Exactly.
And Max will explain you how this happens.
So 3 days. 3 days before your cargo arrives in New Zealand, or sometimes 7 days before it arrives in New Zealand, you will get a phone call from a shipping company. Could be any company.
Shipping agent.
Shipping agent. And
New Zealand shipping agent.
New Zealand shipping agent. And they will nicely ask you to pay additional fee. Could be anywhere, depends on the size of your goods. Could be $500. If it's a 10 cubic meters, could be $1,000.
What are the cheap fees for again?
The fees are for New Zealand Port Service, for container unloading, could be a big range of fees. It doesn't matter. I mean, I wouldn't like to pay any more than I have already paid to your supplier because...
You never budget for
it. Yeah, exactly. My supplier told me this is the shipping to whatever, I don't know, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch. And I expect to receive the goods at my doorstep, if I would be a first-time importer. But if you would speak to a local freight forwarder or a customs broker, they would warn you that, hang on, you've got this shipping term, and there will be another half of the fees that you have to pay for New Zealand, right?
And they are fair fees. I mean, you do have
well,
to pay
not them. Exactly fair. You would have paid maybe 30% less if you would use any local freight forwarder in New Zealand.
That's a good point. But generally speaking, you will still have, you can't expect your goods to be delivered to you on CIF terms, because CIF term means only cost, insurance and freight to the border of the country.
Mm-hmm.
It means that when the vessel with your container arrives in any New Zealand port, that's what you paid up to. Everything else which happens to the container afterwards has to be paid to a local agent.
Mm-hmm.
And these charges are never mentioned anywhere because your supplier just might not know about them, or doesn't care, or God knows what else. And as I said, lots and lots of first-time importers have this nasty surprise when they see big bills turning up unexpected.
By the way, if you're watching us live right now, feel free to comment below your nasty mistakes or any nasty experiences that you had in the past, and what did you do, how did it happen? And if you have any questions, feel free to type them now and we'll answer them to our best knowledge.
Yeah, what's the fourth which brings us to the fourth way of how your supplier can cost you a lot of money, and that would be insurance. Surprise, surprise, because many people think that when you take insurance, when you pay for the insurance, you get this extra protection, and if something happens to your goods along the journey, you are protected from any damages. It's not always the case.
And this kind of insurance you mainly get, once again, with the terms called CIF. When you pay to your supplier overseas, sometimes you get the insurance for free, but
or very cheap.
Or very cheap.
A few dollars.
$5, $10, anything less than $50 for an expensive order, say $10,000 and more, I would be very suspicious how good this insurance is. And have you ever actually seen this insurance certificate? Does it exist? Do they have a local agent in New Zealand?
It's just nice name, CIF, because they just don't know any other Inkater. Yeah, they just call it CIF. So there's no insurance whatsoever. But anyway, be aware of cheap insurance. Even if insurance does exist, it doesn't mean that you're covered, that your goods are covered in terms of damages. First thing, they might be, if there is damage, it might be really, really hard to recover the money. Because the insurance company, which is where your goods are insured, can be overseas. And you will have to rely on your supplier to pass on the documents or evidence.
Handle the claim, basically.
Yeah, handle the claim. And firstly, your supplier doesn't want to do it because no one pays him for it. Right?
Yeah, they've got the money.
Yeah, they could. They would probably just dump everything on you. He will be stuck with, I don't know, some overseas company who...
You'd be lucky if they speak English.
Yeah, if they speak English, if they talk to you, or just answer your email. And secondly, cheap insurance quite often means that most of the damages would not be covered. Say, for example, do you know if there is a tail lift truck the driver tail while delivering your goods to your door lifts the pallet and it breaks down, will it be covered? You have no idea, because it might be just the insurance up to the border again.
To the closest seaport, and then...
To the closest seaport, yes. And then again, it's not covered. And then I would say that the last step of your goods, when your goods are already in the country and they are being delivered to by truck, it's the most dangerous part, because this will lots of handling of the goods. You know, they will have to unpack the container, take the goods, put it in a truck, and that's where all the damages might happen. And you're not covered. So what's the point of wasting your money on something that will not give you any result? So what would be the best solution in this case?
The best solution is to ask your overseas supplier to give you a copy of this insurance certificate. You may be lucky, and maybe they may have a special agreement with the global insurance company, and maybe they do have an overseas office in New Zealand. Then talk to this insurance company, email them, and have them in writing to confirm that yes, your particular shipment will be covered door to door, and you have the phone number of this local New Zealand office, and you know what's the procedure if the unfortunate situation happens to you. Is there anything else you want to add about cheap insurance?
I think you covered it quite well. So let's go briefly again through all the points, to remind that don't forget to hit the like button, share our videos if you think they are cool and awesome.
Subscribe to our channel.
Good point.
And follow us on Facebook, and leave any questions right now. leave
or
a comment.
Or later.
Or later. Yes, we will make sure we answer every single one of them. And share your feedback. Do you like this kind of content? Have you come across anything like this? Did you lose money?
Yeah, share your experiences with us. We'll be happy to help you if you think that we can help you, and we definitely can. Once again, we go through the four costly ways your supplier will, screw you, but unintentionally or intentionally cause you damages or cause you wasting money.
Yeah, in many cases, to be fair to your supplier, in many cases they don't realize this thing could cost you money. They don't know that what documents do you need in New Zealand. They don't know whether the insurance will cover what you want to be covered. They don't know what are the extra fees will be in New Zealand, and if it's under safe terms. So, I mean, you just have to talk and discuss with a specialist in New Zealand. Are there any hidden fees?
Sure. Yeah.
So what's the fifth point, Alex?
Let's go over through the first four.
Oh, okay.
So first one, wasted space. Don't waste any space in the container. Check how the container is packaged so you don't pay for air. Second one, incorrect documentation. Talk to the local freight forwarder customs broker and check that all the documents you've been sent to are correct. Third one, CIF problem. So do budget for local handling charges, port charges, delivery, unpacking,
customs clearance,
good point. And cheap insurance. Do not rely on overseas insurance. Always either check all the conditions of the insurance or speak to a local company, speak to a local insurance company, or speak to a local freight forwarding company. They will most probably be able to help you to get the comprehensive one, and you will be covered all over. Right?
All right.
And the fifth one, which is not mentioned anyway, but we decided to give you this.
It's a bonus,
yes.
I forgot about it.
Go ahead.
So, delays. So, how could a delay cost you? Well, it's very important if you have an important customer, if you resell the goods to another company in New Zealand or to another person, and it's a very big order, say it's a full container, half container, and your client wants the goods to be here by a certain date because they have an exhibition or they have some kind of promotion, right?
Right.
If they have something special happening on a particular date, the delay could cost you a lot of money. So how could the delay happen?
In fact, it could cost you the whole contract.
Yeah, you will never be able to see this client again. You will never be able to get more orders again. It could be one of the biggest actually costs in your business. So one of the ways that you could experience a delay, for example, if you Google, there is a port strike happening right now in Lyttelton, Christchurch. And some of the containers, well, not some of them, most of them have been delayed for a week. And people actually pay extra to get these containers diverted from, could be Timaru Port or some other nearby port, by rail to Lyttelton, to Christchurch. And it's unexpected, right? You never can foresee it. And the same could happen overseas. The same port strikes happen overseas.
I remember the strike in Hong Kong happening a couple of years ago. Before that, somewhere else in China. So it's quite a common thing, because usually trade unions in ports are very strong, and they go on strike quite often. At least a few years in every major port would be expecting to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a good example now. Panama Channel. Have you heard what happened in Panama Channel? There's a huge backlog of containers sitting in the port because there was a big season of frozen meat in New Zealand, and so a lot of meat has been sold over to Europe,
mm-hmm.
and the ships from here to Panama Channel, they will just go in full, great, lots of money, earn, and all of a sudden, and you know, because the Panama Channel is the very narrow piece of sea, and it's only a certain number of ships can go through within the period of time. So now there's lots of containers with chilled meat, and it's time critical. Chilled meat is very time sensitive. Sitting there and in South America and cannot go anywhere, and they just, you know, all this means lots of and lots of lost money and wasted contracts and you know, lots of
upset people.
upset people, yeah. So that's another thing. And what else can happen?
So delay could happen because of the government authorities at different borders, different countries could want to inspect your goods. That could cost extra labor. They want to do extra certification of your goods if they believe the customs clearance wasn't done properly. Once again, you have to rely on the overseas supply to make sure they supply proper documents on time, and it meets current requirements of both borders.
So what do you think you as an importer can do to sort of protect yourself from that sort of damages? Of course, you can't, you know, protect yourself like months in advance, but what's the best advice? What's the best strategy?
Well, there is actually, I could be wrong, if we have an insurance broker in New Zealand, please correct me, but I think there is a business interruption insurance available to some businesses. So if you've got a supply of goods coming in on a regular basis and it is interrupted, I believe you could be covered. So it depends how important it is, how critical it is for you. You could get this insurance and, well, just buy a bit earlier. Don't push everything to the limit.
Plan is 1-2 weeks ahead and have a buffer.
So and a budget as well to cover extra costs just in case.
Yeah.
For customs inspections and anything like that. Anyway, if you enjoyed this content, if you liked our 5 points, please hit the like button, share with your friends, and follow us on Facebook and YouTube. And we'll meet you again next week. We are preparing very interesting topics, so stay tuned. And thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again.
Great time. See ya.